Hello, welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Here is Pete and I. We are having a walk down the old railway track in Wolverhampton, and today I wanted to talk about the idea of they consciousness. And this is particularly interesting to me because I've written about it myself in relation to mostly romantic relationships and how this can cause a great pain and disturbance in a relationship. So basically how what I see they consciousness as being, as just simply seeing yourself through the eyes of other people.
Yeah.
And this can obviously cause an awful lot of problems.
Yeah.
And but their consciousness is a lot more than that. There's many different aspects, but the one that we want to concentrate on today is the more problematic aspect of the individual. But what we were just discussing before we started recording this is actually how their consciousness is actually necessary for us. And how we begin forming our consciousness and forming ourselves through their consciousness.
Yeah, well, in as much as every child is born into a family and a community, I suppose there are some instances where there's no family, but every child is born into some kind of collectivity of one sort or another,
yeah,
and is influenced by other human beings right from the start, taught to speak, taught social customs, so on. So there's a sense in which our consciousness is they consciousness,
yeah,
to some extent. It'd be really interesting sometime in the future to analyse all that and have a think about it. But for now, I think it did take us too far afield because you seem to be wanting to hone in on the
impact on the individual.
Yeah, the pain and suffering that individuals can suffer when they worry a lot about what other people think.
Yeah.
Basically
what it is.
Yeah, and this is when Mrs. Bloggs. She answers the door to her son, who's come back from London, where he's been living for a couple of years, and he's got a
big tattoo of a smiling spider on his forehead.
Yeah, and she goes, "Oh my God, what will the neighbours think?"
Yeah,
and that is, that's the thing there, that she's worried that she may be gossiped about, that there may be shame. And there'll be comments, and she'll have unwanted attentions, and she'll be thought to be a failure as a mother, in as much as her son turned out into one of those kids that gets tattoos all over his face. So
that's just like a little example, but people they just seem to spend almost their entire lives completely trapped in their consciousness. They're never really with themselves, they're just always looking at themselves through the eyes of other people.
It is extremely,
and what they think of them. And the horrible thing about this is, what the other people think of them could very easily be completely imaginary.
Yeah.
A lot of the time
there's this other layer that can be added to it, in which, actually, nobody gives a shit about your son's fucking tattoo of a big spider on his forehead.
No.
They've all got tattoos on their own foreheads, and they've all got sons with tattoos and all the rest of it. So, but Mrs. Bloggs is having all this anxiety about something which is purely fucking imaginary anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing that's going on there, that strikes me, is that there's a kind of an image that's almost ruling Mrs. Bloggs' consciousness.
Yeah.
And it's the image of herself on the stage performing her life.
Yeah.
In front of an audience that's kind of very critical and very judgmental. And it matters to her what their judgment is. just like any thespian, you know, you want to be applauded for a good performance. Yeah. You want that, you feed off it. It's a desire.
It's like her self-worth is in the hands of the audience, isn't
her
it?
Her self-worth is in the hands of the audience, yeah. Good way of putting it.
Yeah. And when I was writing about this, I was saying, really, putting your self-worth in the hands of other people is not really a very good idea. Because they're probably not going to treat it very well.
Yeah, not if you can
help
it.
They're going to use it to manipulate you for a start.
Oh, yeah. Well, society functions, doesn't it? Because
exactly.
Because there's this fantastic amount. It functions in the way that it does.
Yeah.
Which is probably not optimum. I don't think it's optimum.
Because capitalism loves state consciousness,
of course
doesn't it?
Of course it does, yeah.
It's completely, if we didn't have any they consciousness, capitalism would just like to implode.
Well, Madison Avenue would. And the job of Madison Avenue, or the advertising industry,
is to
feed off and profit from the anxiety that you feel in respect to this imaginary audience, in relationship to yourself on this stage in which you are performing your life. And and not only do they do that, they actually structure the anxiety. They actually kind of deliberately cause the anxiety.
And
particularly they channel the anxiety so that you will buy certain products.
It's almost like supply and demand, isn't it? They supply the anxiety.
Yeah. and you demand the deodorant.
Yeah.
You know. It's like you're never going to get laid, and you're going to get booed off the stage unless you get one of these big red shiny cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's.
So there's a lot of pressure for us to really be trapped in day consciousness.
Yeah,
all kinds
of pressure, peer pressure, neighbour pressure, community pressure, advertising pressure, and so forth. If you can govern day consciousness, if you can make sure that everybody gets a particular form of day consciousness in a society, you would become the great slave master of that society.
Yeah.
And so thy consciousness is contested, it's fought over. Who's going to control it?
Yeah. It's a lot of competition for us.
Yeah. Is it the therapists?
Yeah.
The yoga masters? The bishops of the Church of England? The Fabian Society? Coca-Cola? The British Army? The Bush family, they're all kind of quite like a little...
They all want a slice of us.
Or all the old women in the street. You know?
Yeah.
Or the elders in the church, whatever. It's kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
But it is possible to release yourself from that prison of vague consciousness.
Yeah. Certainly. Some people do seem to be able to slough it off. Some people seem never to acquire it. They're generally called psychopaths, sociopaths, you know.
I think, as we're saying, you do need it to a certain extent. It's kind of necessary and useful, but when it gets out of hand, then it's
I think in the sense that one needs to be alert to how the world works.
Yeah.
To the extent that you can.
Yeah.
And for human beings, that the world is the human world mostly.
Yeah.
Apart from those few who kind of live up the top of mountains in caves on their own.
Yeah.
Vast majority of humanity lives in a sea of humanity. So you've got to know how it works if you're going to survive, let alone flourish.
Yeah. So the first step is to just become aware of how our they consciousness is manufactured and fed all the time adverts and media.
General pressure as well.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you can spot its workings, you're already to some extent free of it.
Yeah. And also your friends, family, and you know, as you said, peer pressure. Yeah. Notice how that's working as well. Once you're aware that it's there, it's quite easy to see it.
Yeah, it's definitely desirable to slough off its worst effects.
Yeah.
I would say, because it just causes anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's kind of anxiety that can suffuse the entire life.
Yeah, and then that person, ruin. I mean, I see people
it could ruin
who
a life.
Have a great, you know, what I call great brightness inside them, great potential, but they're completely suppressed by their consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And they never really get to live.
No. I'm so glad I don't give a shit.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Even if that just qualify you to a diagnosis from the DSM.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Well, that's their consciousness as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. But yeah, certainly some kind of clear seeing around it. It's really advantageous
to
individuals who are suffering from it. I think that's only going to work for somebody who's realised that they've got pathological thy consciousness and that they don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's holding them back.
Yeah.
In many ways. Because I'm presuming the majority of people are not even aware. Without consciousness, it's just common sense. It's just what's close to you.
Yeah.
You know, it comes on. Now question mark hovers over it. In which case,
they probably won't be listening to this. If
and
they
won't be listening to this
anyway. Yeah. So.
Anyway.
We're talking to the question mark people.
If you know it's problematic for you, you do need to be aware to how it works.
Yeah.
Just on a very kind of nitty gritty level, and that means. Having some meditative awareness of what it is. In other words, you need to be very intimate with what's going on with yourself. You don't need to be repressing the thy consciousness, pushing it under, trying to deny it. Trying to bury it. It doesn't work, it just comes back with more force. You try that kind of scenario. You need to be with it. And by the same token, you don't need to be a massively distant observer of it, thereby creating a split inside yourself and a cold, icy sort of possibly judgmental witness consciousness. You don't need that either.
No.
You need to actually be with it, into it, one with it. And this is, and of course that requires that one is sensitive enough to see the thing in operation. And sensitivity comes from quietness. When we're quiet, we're sensitive.
Yeah.
And when we're sensitive, we're quiet. It enables us to be receptive without interfering noise.
Yeah. Because the meditation is too noisy.
You miss it. You don't see it.
You can't see it.
You don't spot the detail. Whatever.
Because it can be quite subtle.
It can be this,
the they consciousness can have all sorts of like subtle disguises how it's like manipulating you and motivating you and how it's making you feel.
It's kind of infinitely crafty.
Yes, it is.
but the being one with. For that to happen, you need to allow yourself to settle down with what's going on. So first rule is don't panic.
Yeah.
You've noticed something's afoot, don't panic. And then, okay, you know, set yourself aside a bit of time, set yourself aside a bit of quiet space, or somewhere where you can walk in amongst trees or up a mountain, or something like that. And then you've given yourself the conditions, and after that, it's fairly simple to be with yourself.
Yeah.
But these are the ingredients, yeah. The quietness. A lack of panic
and a willingness
to undertake the job.
Yeah.
And then after that you sink down into it. And it does bring about resolution and clarity. A clarity about what's happening. And clarity about how daft it is.
Yeah.
And clarity about how much more life is available to you.
Yeah.
Without playing that stupid game.
You can feel yourself becoming more alive. It's weird, but as that sort of stuff drops away, it's like life just gets more colourful.
Absolutely. But do bear in mind that, of course, this is placing you at odds with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, them, as we've said, is more likely as not imaginary. Depends where you live to some extent. You live in a modern British city, it is imaginary. Nobody gives a shit about anybody. I don't care, you can fucking know. There's a bloke walks up and down Chapel Ash, just half a mile from where we live, and you see him there most days in the stormtroopers from Star.
Oh, I think that's a woman actually.
It's a woman.
It's a woman doing that. Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, complete with everything.
Yeah,
the full,
brilliant.
The full outfit.
Yeah.
The full outfit, and nobody bats an eyelid. Nobody bats an eyelid at all. I suppose if you live in some close little village somewhere in the third world, you know, the they consciousness is pretty real. You know, and they can be quite draconian in the way they enforce it.
Yeah.
So the anxiety that in those cases is a kind of, to some extent, rational, because you're transgressing these buggers will stone you to death in some places.
But the anxiety, as you mentioned, it's like when you become quiet in the meditation, in whatever way you intuitively feel that you would move into it, as there's no prescription because there never is, but just simply becoming quiet with it, what will probably happen, or what happened for me, is that you become tremendously aware of how painfully anxious all of that is making you.
Uh-huh.
And that's a starting point. So it's not very nice to realise that for it, you know.
Yeah.
This is
you'd have to get real, don't you, as they say. In modern parlance. Watch out, somebody coming.
And then I realised, well, okay, this is making me very anxious. I don't want to feel like this. And as I became more aware of it, the anxiety just receded. I just realised I didn't need it anymore.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't useful to me. Uh-huh. Didn't give me anything. And really, it wasn't even real.
And it wasn't even real. There's the rub. There's the rub, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. I mean, whether it's real or not, it's painful in both cases. You know,
yes.
So
yeah.
Get rid of it. But if you have the misfortune of living in a place where the real they have got a real interest in your moral behaviour according to their formulation of moral, well, of course, do please be careful. If your soul is liberated.
Yeah.
Into freedom, and you're in that circumstance, what have you, just move away. Come to Wolverhampton, and you can dress up as Kaiser Bill and just march up the main street and nobody will mind at all.
It's part of the anxiety comes from needing.
Yeah.
It comes from, the anxiety comes from needing these reflections from people, imaginary or real. And you become more comfortable and at ease with yourself, you don't need those reflections anymore. Yeah. You just simply don't need them.
Yeah.
And that anxiety of the need and the you know, trying to kind of fill this imaginary hole inside yourself is gone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost, if you need a particular reflection from another being, the chances of actually fully interacting with that other being are quite narrowed down by the need.
Exactly.
It's a sort of a distorting.
It becomes an inauthentic communication, doesn't it?
It has like a distortion on the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not like, certainly neither you nor I are against mutual recognition, you know, or reflection from others.
Yeah.
Of course not. It's one of the great things in life.
Yeah. So you don't have to reject positive reflections at all.
No.
Of course.
Or any reflections for that matter.
Well, no.
But being driven by a neurotic need for them, in a sense, it kind of it really strangles your chances of getting what you desire.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
You need it too much, you spoil
it. It really does. It will kill it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the thing I was writing about. Was that, you know, the role of that in relationships and particularly romantic relationships and how it can.
Whereas I would say that meeting another is the same non-technique as meeting your own thy consciousnesses, which we just described, the meditation that you can use to twist free of the worst aspects of thy consciousness, from anxiety about your position on the stage in front of a critical and hostile audience potentially. It's the same technique that you bring to bear when you behold the human face of another.
Yeah.
Do you remember we used to do a human face retreat?
Yeah.
Which was kind of really centred on that notion, you know, of the other as a beautiful chance for
meeting the self,
for meeting, but also for meeting the self, for meditation, same time.
And one of the pitfalls that people often fall into when trying to liberate themselves from their consciousness is going too far the other way. So it's something we were talking about yesterday.
Oh yeah, you can react, you know.
Yeah.
And say, well, I'm completely inert to all this, and start acting out this kind of total independence.
Yeah.
I'll rob a bank for the hell of it.
Yeah, but you still then controlled and enthralled of their consciousness just as much.
Yeah, reaction to it and action driven by it amount to the same thing.
Yeah.
So what you want is you don't want it to be capable of making you react or act.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. So like you just want to be able to just set it aside gently. Absolutely. Don't have to throw it away forcefully, you can just put it down.
Yeah. And that in itself opens up possibilities for authentic meeting with the other.
Yeah.
And so the other, instead of being they, this potentially persecutory surveillance squad, judgment squad, instead of that, the other becomes this wonderful, beautiful potential for meeting and love.
Yeah. Well, I hope you find that useful or interesting in some way. And we're off to go and try and find some local honey now, so we're getting to the road. And we'll speak to you soon.